I use those past events and the conduct of government and the conduct of politicians and the conduct of various agencies in the past to color my thinking about what they're likely to do now. We've got to get out of the situation of being a complete predator nation that has been ripped off of its assets. We're talking about, I didn't put it in my report, but the numbers in terms of the value of assets already seized amounts to many trillions of dollars. In fact, I don't even want to say it now because it dwarfs the size of our national debt.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I've been wanting to cover QAnon and Mega Anon for a while, and I got an amazing synopsis from Wayne Jett last night. He sent me an email and he put a report on his website, and it was a synopsis of everything that he's been reading. Very, very good synopsis. Millions of people are following them. I don't quite know what to think of all of this. I've been asking people, and people think it's legit. People have been following it and have done a ton of research, believe these sources. And it's absolutely incredible what we're hearing. And so I wanted to bring him on and give an overview of why he believes these sources and what he's saying is going to happen now until the beginning of November with the next election cycle. Absolutely incredible. It's an American revolution, and we're taking our country back. And things that are going on behind the scenes and have already been going on are incredible. And so it's almost hard to believe they're so incredible. So I want you to listen to this. It's a hard time. It's a weird time. But I think that the most important thing is for you to use your own discernment, for you to think hard, think critically, be intellectually honest with yourself, and realize that you're not getting good information from the mainstream media, and that you need to be able to be a critical thinker and look and research into stuff yourself. And that's what I like about this whole movement and what they're trying to share with people. But I want to also tell you that Wayne Jett sticks around and does a little bit more interview question with me that is for my patrons, exclusive for them. I want to thank you so much for supporting the show. And I also want to tell you about, that goes along with what Wayne is saying, what QAnon, Mega Anon is saying, is to prepare. And so I have some links below on how you can make your own medicine at home. And also, there's a documentary series that they're providing on how to grow your own food, half of your own food in an hour a day. Much more healthy for you. And so it goes along with this whole theme that we need to prepare and be self-sufficient. And even if this stuff doesn't transpire quite like we think, it's really good to have healthier food and to have healthier medicines than to get some of this off the shelf and get things from, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, at least for the basic ailments that you can take care of yourself. So let's get now into the interview with Wayne Jett. Hi, Wayne. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Sarah. Very happy to be with you again. Certainly loved your audience and our discussions.
Well, I saw your report yesterday and I said, oh my gosh, I got to talk to him. I know there are millions of people that are following QAnon, and now there's this Mega Anon, and you've been doing these amazing summaries of it. First, can you tell me who you think they are and why you trust them as a source?
In my view, I believe that they are insiders, at least in the intelligence community, and especially maybe more likely even in the operations community, as far as QAnon is concerned. In terms of why I believe they're credible, I would have to say that that depends upon all of my experience and so forth. You recall, of course, our long discussions about the Great Depression. The reason I go into those subjects so much is to try to provide historical context for people having to make decisions about today's events. And that's basically the way I do it as well. I use those past events and the conduct of government and the conduct of politicians and the conduct of various agencies in the past to color my thinking about what they're likely to do now. In terms of the particular individuals who are involved, one identifying himself as QAnon, the other as Meganon. Meganon, actually, I believe, although I have not followed her posts as much as I have QAnon, Meganon, actually, I believe, came first and posted for some time before going silent. And however, I would say this, that in regard to the report that I published yesterday and the listing of actions or events that are foreseen as occurring largely within this year, beginning this month, that listing of items is really not my interpretation of events as much as it is my trying to reflect what Meganon says this is going to be. This is occurring, this is going to happen, and it's happening already.
And you are a meticulous researcher, and you have done more in-depth research in history than almost anyone I know. And you haven't found anything that just doesn't connect right or makes you feel uncomfortable.
Well, I don't with regard to those two individuals. And I do think there was a view at one time, for example, that QAnon might be a team that interchanges one with the other. There's been at least one instance in which some observers that follow very closely say, well, there's a new QAnon now. This is not the same one. You can tell the difference. I have not been able to reach that conclusion. As far as I've been able to tell, it looks to me as if it's been the same person. And the way I read the posts, I don't believe they could be simply fiction. I don't believe they could simply be contrived. They appear to be, in many respects, they are day-to-day postings of this is what's happening now. Here are some pictures. We're watching this person. We're doing this. We're doing that. Or they're very cryptic. They do not get into long narratives. Those who are familiar with this, I think you already know more than what I'm being able to tell you right now. But all I can say to you is that I try to look at these as closely as I'm capable of doing. And when I do that, I simply don't see the tip-offs that would trigger my reaction, this guy's a phony, or this person's making this up, or this or that. I have not seen those things. And as a result, it also happens to be that if they were undertaking the kinds of challenges that they say they are doing, that they are undertaking, that they're not just undertaking, but they are completing, it seems to me that the kinds of activities that are being described are certainly, as far as my more limited experience of what these might be, they certainly seem to fit. So yes, you can say, well, perhaps I'm just too credulous, but in some respects, I would counter that by saying, if anything, my exposure to past events, if anything, has made me more cynical about, in some respects, about the prospects, about possibilities, about how realistic is it that we can be hopeful at this time, as opposed to what I regarded as extremely dire circumstances as we were entering the election of 2016. Because if we had not dodged that bullet, in my opinion, the country would be facing the cataclysm that the ruling elite described so clearly, as I described to you in our discussion relating to the so-called manifesto of the ruling elite that was published in 1901. They intend to exterminate as much of humanity as possible. They want a very limited population on the earth, only two classes, the ruling class, meaning simply themselves, which is really not so much a class at all. It is simply a relatively small cabal of rulers, and they want the rest of humanity to be entirely their servants, to be done as ordered. And from that point, well, getting back to what we would be facing after the election last year, during the previous 8 years, there were some just absolutely horrifying events that were occurring under that administration in terms of preparation for extermination, I think, of American people.
And it wasn't just happening under Obama. It's been happening. It's happened before as well, right? I mean, it was a continuation.
Well, certainly the events under the Bush 43 administration with the 9/11, with the war against Afghanistan, the war against Iraq, and so forth, that aggression was very deadly, no question about it. But it was primarily directed against foreign populations. But particularly in the last 8 years of Obama, I mean, the 8 years of Obama, I mean, we're talking about building detention camps across the United States territory. We're talking about accumulating tremendous stores of ammunition capable of blowing human bodies to pieces on a terrorizing basis. That is hollow-nosed ammunition, billions of rounds purchased by the United States government. We're talking about millions of coffins, plastic black coffins stored across sites across the country, capable of holding multiple bodies in each one. Now, what is that for?
Yeah, it's so interesting that the media, you see that and they don't question it. Instead of pointing fingers and saying we're crazy, why don't you figure out what it is? Why are they doing this?
Well, in my estimation, the reports of the major media just simply didn't talk about those things. If you can point to some, that maybe there's some exceptions, but they simply do not talk about the things that are unpleasant for the ruling elite and their agenda. They certainly don't talk about such things as many of us are so worried about, regarding disease control, and the opposite being the case. That is, not just we don't have a communicable diseases control center, we have one that seems to be involved in the development of contagious diseases and the spreading of them. You know, those are obviously out of the mainstream discussion. But those seem to be, in my opinion, those are the realities of today's America. Not so much today's, I'm talking about the events up to the election and the turn of events that's almost miraculous. I had a very brief communication yesterday from a colleague of past years relating to the financial markets. And he saw that report that you and I are discussing that I published and said that was the most optimistic he had seen me write in quite a long time. I would say that my last three or four reports have been much more optimistic because they have been a post-2016 election, of course. And as things have come along, I have become more and more optimistic that in fact what I hoped was the possibilities of this new administration are really becoming reality. They are becoming reality very much as I understood, for example, that during the 8 years of Obama administration and the end of the Bush administration, there were policies being put into place from 2006 to destroy the U.S. economy. When Henry Paulson came down from Goldman Sachs to become the economic czar for Bush 43, I said, this is a tragedy. This is an outrage. This is the raises the prospects that we were going to have policies put in place to destroy our economy. That's exactly what happened. Now, even before that, there are reasons we go into that give me very strong reservations about the earlier Bush economy to some extent I wasn't fully aware of. Even Secretary Snow of the Treasury Department, I thought he was far better than Paulson. But when Paulson came in, he came down as an intimidator of everyone in Washington, was given the so-called economic czar powers, and he immediately started taking actions to set up 2008. And that was a tremendous corruption in the stealing, the looting of 13 trillion plus from the American capital markets. But
it was absolutely incredible, and nobody went to jail for that. Can you can we go through your report? Because your report is absolutely amazing, and I think that listeners would like to hear what's in your report.
Fine, I'd be happy to do that. I'll just start by saying that what I said is that it's practically miraculous to be in a position of saying that here we are, we're looking at the report of events that are ongoing and to be yet conducted that put us in the position of actually uprooting the ruling elite that has ruled the world for at least 1,000 years. At least 600 or 800 years. I mean, we can talk about how far back it goes, but there's a ruling cabal that has been in power in every nation as far back as my book goes, for example, and certainly since 1880. In this country, they have been controlling both parties and so forth, and so. In the American Revolution, yes, we were able by practically miraculous circumstances to break loose from the British Empire, the British monarchy. But the New World, the North American continent, had been colonized by those same monarchies and ruled for, say, 200 years before we broke loose. And yes, we were able to do it because Britain was in a war with France and so forth and so on. They had other fish to fry. But then they came right back and they tried to conquer us again. And then we were able to overcome that. It's unclear exactly on what terms because they had attacked us in 1812 because we wouldn't let them have another central bank. And so supposedly peace was made in that war, unbeknownst to us, by our agreeing to have the central bank again. And so that central bank then exploited the country for until 1832, when after the first term of Andrew Jackson, when he fought that bank and said he was going to end it and would not approve it if he was reelected, he was reelected in a landslide, ended the bank, and they promptly proceeded to cause another depression here. And to assassinate every president that came in their way, that got in the way of their financial exploitation of America to the greatest extent possible. My point, though, being in summarizing that, is to say that we've never come close to the proposition of should we take out this ruling cabal worldwide? Our previous revolution and wars had only been fought to keep us free from it, and frankly, they haven't been entirely successful, because by 1913, they bought out Woodrow Wilson, got their privately owned Federal Reserve again. Still, I'm amazed that many people here still think that's a federal agency. It most certainly is not. It never allows an audit. And so the operations of the Fed, if you want to talk about credibility of sources, do I trust QAnon and Meganon more than I trust what the Fed says? Absolutely yes.
Well, I saw some reports that audit the Fed is actually a serious bill that's going through that is, they think that's going to happen real quick.
Well, unless it has the full force and power that is being used, and I believe these events of overthrowing the global cabal, that is to have the Marines there protecting the people doing the audit and keeping them safe and getting, we will never get anything close to a full and faithful audit without the full protection of the safety and so forth of all the families involved, because that is the way these people operate. They are completely ruthless. They have been so. They are still now. And even though there are important reports of events across the world that seem to be taking some of these places down, not just particular individuals, but also their hideaways, their deep underground military bunkers called the Dumbs, that, believe it or not, have been multiple locations all over the world. There are reports that technology exists that is much more extensively used and has been for some years that allows construction underground, tunneling at great speeds with great efficiency, that allows underground transportation that already exists today, but also these multi-level bunkers that allow the elite places to hide when they do the rest of us in or have some kind of event that they have to. Many of those are being reported to be having been destroyed.
And this is coming from QAnon and Mega Anon.
It's coming from them and other sources as well. They're not the only sources. But I would say again that as far as the listing of events that I include in my report, what I try to do is be faithful in a transcription of Mega Anon's recent prognostications in a single report. I tried to find that report again before speaking with you this morning, and I haven't been able to find it so far, but I found that and wrote those things down, summarizing them from that report. And I'll see if I can get that and perhaps pass it along to you so that you would have it. But I feel certain that is a faithful interpretation of what Meganon says. This is happening. This is you can take this to the bank.
Well, let's start with number one. You say the pending report of the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Justice will disclose significant crimes and corruption within government and the private sector, and will set the stage for arrests and prosecutions, including a large number of sealed indictments already filed in the courts. And, you know, we've talked about these sealed indictments, but they're talking about there being a lot more of these.
Yes. Well, even the reports from other sources are also saying that the number of sealed indictments has greatly increased. Some time ago, they were up past 10,000, 14,000, so forth. And my understanding most recently is that they're in excess of that. And for example, I saw a report last night that I also would tend to credit, that there have been something like over a dozen military panels that have been reviewing evidence already. These would be for courts martial. And
would you have some names?
No.
They're not disclosing names. I mean, we can talk about the big names like Podesta and Clinton and things, but
they're going to disclose, and I'm not sure that they would disclose while the trials were going on. People of that nature, you're talking about people who are regarded as military threats to the stability of the country, who are trying to overthrow the government, and you're talking about the military being in the position of having to say, we are sworn to defend the country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And these are people who are presenting a serious threat to the continuity of the United States government, and we're not going to permit it. It's our job to stop them. We're taking them to the military courts, and we're having a trial. Now, what I heard last night, I saw a report, is that 9 of those panels had completed the review of the evidence presented to them. And so to me, that means that the proceedings would be that they've reviewed the evidence, they'll make their findings, determining whether their actual arrests and indictments and prosecutions are required based on the evidence presented, and they will then take actions. Now, there have certainly been a number of reports that these reviews are taking place at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and that the trials would take place there. I don't know whether that's the case or whether they would take place in the United States. I think that could happen either way, but certainly the reports are that the facilities in Guantanamo Bay significantly expanded in order to take care of this, because the scale of the corruption is simply that large.
Okay, number 2, you say the Federal Reserve will be nationalized and closed. All of the privately owned central banks will be closed, including the Bank for International Settlements. This is the information you're in reports you're getting, and QAnon, Mega Anon are saying, you know, we've had wars over this. I mean, these are the source of wars. So how do we know that this is something that we can count on?
Well, you understand that the source of wars were, if you challenge those banks and you leave the ruling elite safe in their castles and so forth, then you get the wrath that they can bestow upon you by the means they have available to them. And it appears from the events reported that those safe places are already, and to some extent have already, been dislodged. And if that is the case, then it is those central banks that are out there alone, not us.
Oh, well, that's a good thing to know. I think even just the audit that I'm seeing from Rand Paul, there's emails that have been going out like crazy over the last 24 hours, that the audit is it's the closest they've ever seen in history to a full-blown real audit being able to go through. And as you know, when we did a partial audit, it was mind-blowing what we learned. If we could do a full audit, maybe the American people could wake up and realize what's really going on, because there's so many people that just don't believe and are cognitive dissidents, and they need to see. And I think even if they see it, they won't believe it. But
well, obviously, talking about getting rid of the central bank, even the Fed by itself, is a big deal, or it certainly has been my whole life. But nevertheless, when you're talking about doing all of the central banks in, and you're talking about pulling down their masters and their owners as well, then you have something of such tremendous importance. Then you add in the other additional factor that we know is on the ground, we know is in effect, is that executive order that became effective at 1 minute after midnight on the morning of December 21st this past year. The executive order that says, here is a list of people that we know to be involved in corruption, human trafficking, human rights abuse, and so forth. And we order, this being a national emergency, we order that all of their assets be frozen and held for our confiscation when we show their corruption to the courts so we can take them. Now, in that circumstance, one of the important items in this list that I provided is that these confiscations have already gone forward to the extent of seizing tremendous amounts of assets worldwide. To the extent, I didn't even put the numbers in because they are so significant, so substantial. They would tend to dwarf the size of our national debt. I mean, they would put a completely different position to bear as far as the financial viability of the United States of America is concerned. Far from being bankrupt, we would be a substantial asset holder. Far from having no gold, we would have substantial amounts of gold. That's the only basis upon which a gold-backed dollar would be possible at this time.
Well, because you say number three, which I want you to continue here. Number three, the Federal Reserve note will be ended and replaced by a gold-backed U.S. dollar issued by the U.S. Treasury. Keep going. Yeah.
And in that circumstance, I mean, there have been discussions in the last several years about, on what basis could we possibly go back to a sound currency? We had most likely no gold left because it's been pilfered and stolen and so forth from various respects. It was until 1971, it was sold off at $35 an ounce to people who knew that they were going to go off the gold standard and be able to sell it for four times that much within 18 months. From the time we went off that gold standard. So much of it went out the door in various ways over the years. And then during the Clinton years, it's reported that they developed a so-called leasing program for gold that was basically no charge for the leasing for those favored with being granted gold leases. And that went out the door and hasn't come back. So to try to have a gold standard, one of the proposals that was run up the flagpole is that China has enough gold in various places that it could lend the U.S. as well as other nations substantial amounts of gold for them to back their currency. For example, let's see. 30,000 metric tons, I believe, was mentioned as being available for borrowing from China. The problem with our doing that, however, is that in the economic circumstances that have existed for the last several years, our balance of trade deficit is so large, something like $800 billion a year. 15,000 metric tons of gold would go out the door from the U.S. back to other countries each year until we get that trade deficit back to balance. And so that is what has been involved in this time of Trump in office so far, of trying to change the rules of trade enough so that we're not exporting all of our factories and importing all of our steel, for example. That circumstance, also are importing all of our oil and shutting down all oil production here. You know, those are policies that are so detrimental on their face to the U.S. that's why partly I call my book, the subtitle, Great Depression then and now, because we were adopting policies, especially under Obama, but beginning under Bush, to put us into depression again. It was clear when Obama came in and said, no, I'm not going to raise, allow these tax cuts that were adopted in 2003 to continue. We're having a tax increase. Then he changed his mind and said, oh, I'll let them go for another 2 years, but I'm going to be sure and raise them then. Well, when you're doing that kind of thing, it's clear you do not want business to hire people, because you're telling them their taxes are going to get higher within the next year or two. And he did that repeatedly the first 4 years of his first term, saying taxes are going to go up. And, of course, they finally did. But he never wanted an economic recovery. And everything they did all during that 8 years was intended in such a way, you know, this thing of trying to spur the economy by giving money to solar power companies, billions of dollars, that's cronyism. You know, that's
I partly think that having so many lawyers in office as well who've never been trained on how economics work, how the economy works, they're looking at trees versus a larger picture. Not that you, a lawyer, isn't able to see the bigger picture. I'm just saying that when that's all they're trained at, if they don't get their brain wider thinking, we are stuck with a bunch of people in Congress and elsewhere leading this country who have no clue about economics.
Very true. But again, I would say that what those people are doing, whether they're lawyers or economists or whatever they're doing, they are following the orders of the ruling elite. I mean, they get their orders from above. They are puppets, just as FDR was.
But they have no idea what they're actually implementing because they can't see the big picture. And if they do, they're too scared to do something about it.
They're just making the spin, the best argument possible, and they have the support of the major media who are controlled by the same.
Exactly. And nobody has the courage. If they understand, they don't have the courage to make a difference. And then the people who aren't bad people are just, they don't get it.
Well, the people who actually go to the extent of trying to do something about it and put their life on the line, they have died.
I agree with that. You get killed or you get sidelined.
That's correct.
Okay, let's look at number four. A new executive order signed by President Trump effective March 1st, 2018, so this already went into effect, amends a manual governing military trials and courts martial to permit civilian support of their operations and actions. This is said to be necessary to expedite investigations, prosecutions, sentencing, and enforcement of judgments for the scale of crimes perceived to exist under martial law jurisdiction. Okay, what do you mean by number four? What is expand?
It's simply because the courts martial are going to be so numerous that the military simply don't have enough personnel to do it, and to do it as sufficiently as it needs to be done. Again, that is a hard, on-the-paper executive order that is available and can be read. This is not imagination from somebody that's making things up. This is an order that is on the ground and running at this point. Now, again, that one put together with the emergency order signed effective December 21st. December 21st was a very important tip-off to me of the fact that I was somewhat on course in terms of understanding what the president, what the administration had in mind, what they were going to be doing, because not only did that order come out, it came out exactly when I imagined that it would have to come out or need to come out. That is, it came out immediately as soon as he won the vote on the tax cut. The tax cut was voted through the House the second time to make it available to go to the desk of the president to signing on December 20th. That executive order went into effect at a minute after midnight that night. So he had decided in advance of that, the same day, as soon as the House had voted, he signed that. He could not sign that confiscation order going after all of the fraud and corruption until he got that vote, because he needed those tax cuts in order for our economy to start trying to rebuild. And so I figured
it's
that
important. Yeah,
he had to hold back until he got those votes, because if he went ahead and showed his hand, the leadership in the Congress might unseat him as far as the tax cut. And so you put those things together and things start fitting. Yes, he's thinking maybe the same way I'm guessing he's thinking. And so, and there are a number of other things, but you're welcome to go ahead with the additional questions if you want.
Number five, financial markets will experience extreme volatility at times amounting to a full-scale crash as events become public and investors face interim uncertainties regarding new realities. Much improved honesty and transparency, which we really need, within markets for stocks, bonds, and commodities ought to be the outcome in the relatively near term. So markets should recover and stabilize. Now, when do you think that we'll start seeing this shock, this disruption, and the start of what we're talking about? But they say that it'll stabilize fairly quickly after that. But when do you think we'll see it?
Well, Magadan indicates that there are going to be significant events in March. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if the financial events are very much a part of that. But we'll have to just see how it unfolds. I think that the actions relating to the dollar and to the Federal Reserve are certainly going to be events that evoke as much of a punishment as the ruling elite can muster at this time. And I think they will very likely try that through the financial markets. And you understand, I think we've spoken before perhaps about this subject, that the Exchange Stabilization Fund, that's the secret fund within the Treasury Department, but really independent of it. It operates on its own and has been a very large part, an unknown exact part, but a large part, I believe, of the rise in the stock market, the purchase of many stocks, the purchase of bonds, and so forth. They have essentially unlimited resources to them. That was the fund that was created and funded initially by the confiscation of gold and the profits from the devaluation of the dollar that that FDR created in 1934. And it's still bigger and worse than ever in terms of the scope of its operations. There are fairly extensive reports detailing the Exchange Stabilization Fund. I think there's a five-part video done by a man that perhaps you and I talked about previously, I think we did, that details they are not bound by any laws of the United States. They can do whatever they want. So they're a completely, I'd call them a rogue operation, and they have tremendous financial resources.
And that video series, the person who put it together, his name slips my mind. I can't remember right now. But he disappeared off the face of the earth. Nobody can find him.
A young man and a descendant of a person who was at Jack Island for the creation of the Fed. I think there's good reason for him to be concerned. I hope for the best in regard to his safety, of course. But in any event, that's the circumstance. They can sell. They can sell short. They can do anything they want to do without fear of persecution. But it's also possible that in the very unusual times in which we live, in which the we can say the government of the United States is going after these illicit activities, they might actually go into position of being able to take that over and end the kinds of manipulations and harm that organization can do if they're successful. But that's what amounts and makes this situation we're facing so complex and so requiring a mastermind to design the entire strategy in addressing it. It certainly, I have reason to think that the people doing this are up to the task, because they are making so much progress of a nature that we can actually put our finger on and say, oh my gosh, when have we seen that before? North Korea is just the last example of it, and it's not going to necessarily be even the greatest one, because it's still not being said in the mainstream press that North Korea has been an operative and controlled by the deep state that runs the United States, that is the rogue CIA.
And a rogue CIA that has death camps and a miserable place for their citizens.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we look at, for example, some years back, it's not just in the very recent past since Trump was elected. There were reports, for example, that for a number of years, North Korea has been the chief counterfeiter of U.S. currency in the world. Now, you ask yourself, how would that be? Where did they get the plates? Well, the reports have been they got the plates from the U.S. Treasury. Now, how would they possibly do that? They would do that on the basis that the CIA is running the place, and the CIA is funding their own operations with counterfeit money made over in North Korea and blaming it on the North Koreans.
Yeah, and saying they're a bunch of nut jobs, which is their ammo, right? Well, let's look at number six. A very strong, desperate attempt to impeach and remove the president will be mounted on behalf of many facing prosecution, but these efforts will fail. They've already been attempting to overthrow the administration. Do you think that will ratchet up more?
Yes. My point again is that this is what Meganon says is going to happen. And emphasizes this point that, what we're trying to do is alert the people. Get this into your mind. Get this into your thinking. Start thinking about it, because this is going to happen. And what we want you to do is be well enough aware that we know it's going to happen and we're going to defeat it. Don't be concerned about it. Yes, you may have to rise to the occasion in terms of political pressure, but we're telling you, we've got this in hand. And they are not going to succeed in their efforts to get the president out. There are people in both parties who are facing dire penalties for their past corruption and misdeeds, including treason and sedition. And in those circumstances, you can be certain that they will do everything they can to make sure that this removal of Trump takes place. I mean, desperation will call for desperate acts. I would say also, since it certainly fits here, that so-called false alarm in Hawaii, the best reports I've seen is that that was not a false alarm. There was a missile launched, a nuclear missile launched to hit Hawaii, and it was shot down.
Who shot it at us?
The most recent report that I've seen is that it was a Canadian missile. It seems to me that might be unlikely, but Canada is still ruled by Great Britain. There had been earlier reports of other subs in the area that actually made the launch. I can't say for certain, but at least the best reports, including from Robert David Steele, is that it was a real launch, and that that it was shot down. There were certainly reports that a boat of tourists actually saw the shootdown. They saw what was stated to be the explosion of an asteroid or something of the sort, but it was an explosion, and I saw a picture of supposedly what they saw.
Yeah, that's just incredible. Well, let's get on to number seven. Federal agencies which have been subverted by elitist influence, including the FBI, the CIA, the ODI, the CDC, the FDA, and perhaps the SEC and FTSC, will be closed or significantly reorganized and recommissioned.
Well, those are the indications, again, especially the deep state intelligence agencies, the FBI and the CIA, are already so shown to be so polluted that they're going to either have to be broken up entirely and reconstituted. Some of what is said, for example, is that it's possible that the CIA would be completely disbanded, and what is needed of it would be put into the NSA. But we will see how that comes around. In that particular one, I added the names of the SEC and the CFTC, and that's the Commodities Futures Commission, perhaps more out of hope than that's my addition to it. That was not specifically identified by Mega Anon. But MegaNon indicates that those agencies are done, and I believe that QAnon has indicated that's going to be the case as well. So we'll see how that goes. But it's clear that there are going to be very major repercussions in our government from what is going on presently. There has been almost just the tiniest point of the iceberg disclosed in terms of how deep and how serious the corruption and in all honesty, the evil that has been very much a part of the activities of the people who rule our country.
Well, number eight is your last one. You say the month of March will see significant apparent actions on this agenda, most of which will be completed before the midterm elections in November. Lawbreakers likely will not do well in returning to office.
Mega Anon basically says you don't really believe that President Trump has done all this to get elected and was recruited to be elected by a very substantial group of retired military officials. And have done all this to go about uprooting the ruling elite worldwide, and then he's going to lose the midterm elections? Not a chance. He knows the timing. The whole group knows the timing. These things are going to be done and accomplished in such a way that we make progress in the off-term elections, not lose ground or even lose control of the Congress to the extent we have control. I'm optimistic. I mean, basically, this Mega Anon post particularly was saying that these are events that are well-timed. They're being executed. They have been being executed for some time now. They are on course, they are on target, they're on time, and so depend on it. Now, it's not just for the purpose of bragging or even getting this on the headlines at this point, but what Mega Anon and QAnon are trying to do is to get this out to people who, you can say, regard themselves as red-pilled. They're awake, they're looking at the right sources. They're looking at QAnon, and they're looking at Mega Anon and making their own analysis. And these people are basically the Paul Revere's. Get on your horse and get out to the countryside and tell people what to expect. That's what we're doing this morning.
So when do you think Trump will become transparent about this? When do you think he'll come out and say, the American people, we have been doing this?
Well, I think it's, he is already doing it to a certain extent, but to a very limited extent. The announcements of the emergency order, that's a very significant thing, very significant in terms of our relations with other countries worldwide. I've told you, I think, in our previous discussions about the attack by a Delta force of the United States forces in Thailand that captured a property there, a so-called plantation or mansion, whatever you want to call it. And that was done just within the last, I can't remember the exact date, but I think in December. And that captured $200 million worth of gold located at that so-called mansion. And it is in the name of the owned, supposedly, in the name of the paper organization that Obama had given $2 billion to develop solar power, and it immediately went bankrupt within a year or two. So there are reportedly multiple properties of that kind across Southeast Asia. Those things have been going on for several months. So MegaAnon and QAnon, I believe, would be fully aware of the progress and the success or lack of success of those kinds of events. And so in those circumstances, it seems to me when MegaAnon comes out and says these things, and these are things that are to be expected, she's doing so on the basis that she has a belief in the credibility of this. We don't want to be misleading, and we think that it's important enough to get people out, because our greatest concern is that when the market starts crashing, or when various things are done that try to cross us up or cause the public to panic, that the public will panic or will get into various civil unrest that will be difficult to deal with. But trust us, the markets are going to come back. The markets are going to be better off when the financial reforms are made. Now, we've got to get out of this situation of being a complete predator nation that has been ripped off of its assets. We're talking about, I didn't put it in my report, but the numbers in terms of the value of assets already seized amounts to many trillions of dollars. In fact, I don't even want to say it now, because it dwarfs the size of our national debt.
Well, it's just incredible. Any business person that has any understanding of how the economy works, or how business functions, or even, you know, which is very much like a government functions when you're looking at a financial statement, knows that what we're doing is just so obnoxious. I mean, it's just, it's enough. We got to fix it. And so it's really enlightening. It feels really good that they're doing something about it that is real. Now, but let me ask you, with all this disruption coming, what do people do? I mean, how do we prepare?
Well, one of the concerns on preparation is that although I'm sure precautions of the most serious nature are being taken, we never quite know what all might be in the package of actions taken by the ruling elite. They're certainly capable of nuclear attacks. They're capable of electronic warfare attacks, putting down our power grid, things of that sort. There's been concern for years that you really need to prepare to be without power, without communication for at least 3 weeks, 3 months, something of the sort. Water, you know, what is your circumstance, and what is it that's necessary for your family to survive? I think those things are still in the mix. I don't think just because we have these positive and hopeful posts of what is planned for, that something unplanned for might still happen out of the desperation of these evil forces that I fully believe are real and have been doing all of the things that have affected us so badly. So yes, we have that problem of being able to survive in your own circumstances and in your own family. People have that circumstance, but they also need to plan for regarding their financial investments. What do they want to do in regard to sticking out this projected crash, or getting out beforehand, or what? If you sell, you know, what is going to be your position, having cash, or should it be something else? All of those are very significant discussion items. But basically, I think the intent of this communication from Meganon was to say, look, it's not going to be so bad that you're not going to make it through. But use your head and do your best, and also communicate to others so they understand. Not everybody is watching Sarah Westall. They need to be, and they need to be looking at news other than the mainstream press. If you're still looking at the mainstream press and finding, feeling that you are fairly well informed about things, I can assure you, you are not. Even the best news you can get on the mainstream press, that is still owned by the ruling elite. It's not just six corporations that control all of that. Those six corporations have a single major shareholder that, of all things, is the Vanguard Group, that supposedly is plain vanilla mutual funds that you can get, lots of index funds, but it's very centralized and controlled. And so try to find sources of information, either among your friends or on the internet, that you can have some real confidence in. That's hard to do and takes some time, but it's very worthwhile and necessary at this point.
Okay, so where can people learn more about your work and what you do?
Well, my website is classicalcapital.com, classicalcapital.com, and that's where I post the few writings I do. I've been writing only about one time per month lately, in light of the this need to watch the circumstances more and possibly say less. But these events are so significant. I'm very hopeful. I think that we've got a chance of doing something that hasn't been done in the history of the world so far as humanity is concerned in our recorded history.
Do you have a newsletter that they can sign up for?
No, I don't. You can contact me through my website and ask me to be put on my mailing list for alerts when my reports come out. I have a short list that really isn't very long, you know, a few hundred names that I send out to, but I'd be glad to add anybody else who wishes, including the people who bought my book. I'd be happy for them to contact me, and I'd be happy to put you on my list for anything that I say currently, if you'd like me to do that. I've had a tremendous number of, in mega terms, just a reassuring number of people in your audience who've bought my book and have been very nice in their comments about it. But it is a part of the process of trying to understand what the people in our ancestry and our parents and so forth actually faced in life, as opposed to what we've been told about in school, that is just simply worlds apart in what in terms of reality has been. We've got a chance of making our country one that's actually equal protection under the law. equal justice under the law. It has not been for, I think, I'm afraid, my entire lifetime, and we need to make it better. So let's see what we can do.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Very happy to be with you, Sarah, and thank you for having me.